Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. So you want to give your boss negative feedback, maybe a little constructive criticism. How are you going to do that? Do you just drop it on him or her? Or perhaps you need a little strategy. Yes.
It's Friday.
It is. Or maybe you need a lot of strategy. Well, tonight we're talking about getting something off your chest with the boss without getting booted out of the office or even hurting your career. My guests are Dr. Vanessa Weaver, career advisor and CEO of Alignment Strategies, and Kimberly Rice, co-founder of Blacks on the Job. Lines are open. I know you've got a lot to say about this tonight. I want to hear from you. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Vanessa, good to see you again.
Good to see you.
And Kim, thank you for coming onto the program.
No worries.
We have to work on my strategy.
It's Friday.
It is Friday without a doubt. Yeah, and we're still talking about being on the job. So, Kim, I'll start with you. Why are people so afraid to talk to the boss?
I mean, from a Black person's perspective, we come in with kind of this mentality that we don't want to put a target on our back. We don't want to be that person that they are scrutinizing for anything. So it's always just kind of making sure that we are mindful and we are careful and we tiptoe around people's feelings. We do that because we've just been kind of taught, go to work. Keep your head down. Don't let nobody see you.
Don't lose that good job.
Right. Don't lose that good paying job. We work from a place of a scarcity mindset. And so when you have that scarcity mindset, then you do everything to protect it, even if it means doing things that are to your detriment, like not giving feedback to people that are making you less productive and less successful.
Where does that come from, Vanessa?
Not giving people feedback or the scarcity mindset.
Right. Where does it come from to where you don't want to talk to the boss? I mean, are we in some way socialized or trained not to want to talk to the boss?
Well, I don't know if it's just unique to Blacks and African Americans. For example, many cultures in these organizations don't encourage you to talk to the boss. So I think we come in with an ability to kind of read the tea leaves pretty quickly. And many times we adjust and accommodate that. I know in a lot of the work that we do in my firm, Alignment Strategies, we are working with companies who are trying to create these more open cultures so you can have this more fluid dialogue with the supervisor, with the boss. And even in those situations, I find that African Americans, brown and Black people of color, are not as trusting even of that opportunity for reasons that you just shared. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times bosses will say, I have an open door policy. Is that code for I don't have an open door policy?
I have an open door policy means that, oh, come in with your great ideas. Come in with things that you think are going to make us better. Come in with things that are process related things. Don't come in with anything that is a personal attack to me. They don't want to hear that. And I mean, I think that you have to be mindful of that. They want, you know, that open door policy. You have to say that. That's politically correct to say. It's okay to say I have an open door policy, but not really have an open door policy.
Well, you know, I've seen it both ways. I've seen many organizations that are striving for this open culture. And many of us, because we've had those experiences you just talked about, aren't very trusting of those. And what I find in that process is that we give up a lot of our power. You know, we give up a lot of our ability to really impact, you know, what's happening in the here and now in our organizations because we're still constrained with the fear of what if we did something different. And in losing your power, I mean, I think there's a way that you have to communicate and deal with this, right? So it's not like open door and you can just come in and say, you know, you really, you know.
absolutely.
Tiff me off or whatever. But I start to say something else. Right. I start to say what they're really thinking. And so we struggle with how to figure out how to say it so it could be heard and accepted. And in the course of that, we convince ourselves oftentimes not to say anything.
But if you don't have a relationship, you can say, I have an open door policy.
Right.
And that's absolutely fine. But if you don't have a pre-established relationship, if you don't have the ability or if you don't feel comfortable with that, then that open door policy really means nothing to you if you don't feel like, hey, I feel like I can be open with this person.
No, you're absolutely right. Organizations have to create the psychological safety.
Right.
And that's this big term they're talking about now. But, create the psychological safety so people feel like they can be their authentic selves and share what they're thinking and feeling about a particular situation. But, part of what I also have seen, in our consulting work is that sometimes in wanting to give the boss feedback is really to kind of tell the boss, tell them off about themselves. And that's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Giving feedback and telling you off is markedly different.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about communicating with your boss, how to give your boss negative feedback, maybe a little constructive criticism. Just how do you do it without getting the boot out of the office or more? If you have a comment, if you have a question, if you have perhaps an experience that did not go so well when you spoke to your boss about something that was important, you can give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. So let's talk about unsolicited feedback. Is there a difference between negative feedback and constructive criticism?
I think that there is a distinct difference between the negative feedback and constructive criticism. Negative feedback is very much kind of from a space of emotion driven at times. It's very much comes from a space of, I need to get this off of my chest because you made me feel some kind of way. And so I need to let you know that you made me feel this way. Whereas constructive criticism is very much, let's take the emotion out of this situation. Let's look at it from how we can improve it. And let's see how we can be kind of agents of change for this, whatever this situation is. So I think that, as long as you kind of go into it removing the emotional aspect of it, you may get a better kind of response when you are working in that type of space.
I think that's such a good point because, part of removing the emotional aspect is really getting clear about what are your intentions.
Right.
So if your intention is to just go there and just kind of, let off steam and let somebody know that they've hurt you, they've damaged you, or whatever, then that's one set of intentions. And it's hard to be provide constructive feedback when you're in that space.
Absolutely.
But if it's in the other space that you talked about in terms of like, how do I provide this perspective so this relationship can go further or go in different places that are more positive, then that's when you can really have that constructive feedback.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the best way to talk to your boss, negative feedback, constructive criticism, the best way to communicate do's and don'ts. Let's go to Carrie. Carrie calling from Northern Virginia. Thanks for calling, Carrie. What's on your mind?
So I just wanted to share that as a sales leader, I think it's imperative that you create the right culture within your department, not just within your organization, so that if you have the right environment amongst your team, they should feel comfortable giving you any type of feedback, positive or negative, because you're giving that to them.
But what about those bosses, Carrie? You're a sales leader. And in addition to probably saying that you have an open door policy, as soon as they come into your office, it's tote that barge, lift that bale, get back out there and sell some more. Thank you very much. Get out. So, how do you deal with the perception, even though You may not say that, but you know, this is a hard driving business. You're in sales. We get, you know, you need a commission or you're not going to get paid. You're not going to put food on your table. You're not going to be able to put your kid through private school. So how do you make the rank and file employees comfortable?
I make them comfortable because I let them know that I'm part of the team as well. I should be able to do exactly what they're doing despite me being the leader.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, again, create that. You have to understand which each of your employees' reason for coming to work. What's their why? And that's what I've asked every single member of my team. What brings you to work each day? And it's up to me to continue to motivate them on that. And so by developing that trust with each member of my team, then when they have an issue, whether it is with me and something that I've asked of them, or whether it's the task at hand, they feel comfortable because now we've developed this mutual trust. It's very difficult to have that, have an employee or someone on your team be comfortable coming back to you with feedback if they have no trust in what in the relationship.
Okay. Carrie, thank you so much. Thoughts
about
that?
I was going to say that, Carrie, I thought provided an incredible example is that she's a role model for what she practices, what she preaches.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst thing is to tell someone I have an open door policy and your behavior doesn't support that. So as I listen to her, everything that she says is important to her. For her people, she's demonstrating that in her behavior. So I really commend her.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about talking to the boss, the do's, the don'ts, the best ways to do it so that perhaps you can allow a little constructive criticism without getting the boot out the door or impacting your career. So, Vanessa, here's another question. What about unsolicited feedback? It's one thing if the boss comes to you and says, what do you think about my performance in the meeting, my plan, but if the boss doesn't come to you and ask you about it, and then you go to the boss and say, I want to talk to you about your performance in the meeting or your plan, the boss could say, I didn't ask you about that.
Right. That's correct. I think what's important when it's unsolicited, that if you want to provide the feedback, again, be clear about what your intentions are. I think that's always important. Be grounded in your intentions. And then the second thing I would suggest is set context for the feedback you want to give the boss. You follow what I'm saying? So versus going in there and just saying, look, I want to really talk to you about what happened in the meeting today. You want to set some context by saying, well, you know, in our meeting today, I had some reactions to some of the things that happened, some of the dynamics that happened. I want to just talk about what is going to make this relationship more successful or maybe make that situation work out a little differently. So I have some perspective to share with you.
But I think also to add to that is to always frame it in the way of how is this going to be helpful to the business and to the culture of the business. And that, you know, that doesn't take away anything that you said. It's just, okay, if I'm giving you this feedback, it's not just me. It's something that we as a company need to kind of address because it's impacting whatever we need to be able to do. And so I think that that will also help with the kind of unsolicited piece, because if their ear isn't to the ground and you all and your ear is to the ground, you know, just being that person saying, hey, I know you don't get out there often. I know you might not hear this. Maybe you just want to take this under advisement.
Well, that's what I mean by context, you know, to provide some kind of context for the messaging you're going to give around the feedback. I think that's really important.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about communicating with the boss. How do you give the boss a little constructive criticism, perhaps even negative feedback? How do you do it? What are the do's and don'ts? Juanita calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Juanita. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted to say that I've actually been on both ends of the spectrum. I've actually been in the position of the boss and also the position of the employee. So what I normally do is ask for permission to speak freely. And that way I kind of mentally prepare myself for what they may be saying or what I have to say, especially if it's an open door policy, because we all think we're doing a great job. You know, we're never thinking we're doing anything wrong. And then when someone says, okay, I want to talk about X, Y, Z, you're never really prepared for what they may say. So if you're comfortable with saying, okay, permission to speak freely, then I'm allowing you to say what you have to say, and you're allowing me to say what I have to say, and we can sort of mentally process it that way. That
so,
works for me.
So this is a perfect issue for Kim. Because you were in the military.
I was.
You were in the military. We see in the movies all the time. You're staying at a detention, and the soldier says, "Permission to speak freely, sir." And yeah, they say, "Granted." Is it really like that?
Absolutely not.
I didn't think
absolutely
so.
Not. And I think saying, "Oh, permission? Do I have permission to speak freely?" You know, that doesn't give you kind of carte blanche to just kind of do a word vomit. It really does require you to kind of have some tact.
Hold on, Juanita. Hold on. Let her answer the question.
But I mean, I think that when you say permission to speak freely, if you don't have a relationship with that person, then permission to speak freely could backfire against you. It could very well be something that you just weren't expecting. And you also have to take into consideration ego. Ego is a thing. And if you kind of go in there and you're like, permission to speak freely, and then you just kind of blast everything that you have ever felt for the past 6 months, you could be affecting someone's ego who thought that they were the greatest thing since sliced bread. And, you know, if they don't have any, as Vanessa said, if they don't have any context, that makes it that much harder for them to respond. So permission to speak freely doesn't allow the person to be prepared. Like, they got to brace themselves.
Yeah, because if you say that, then they're going to think, whoa, here it comes. Juanita, I know you wanted to make another point, and I'm going to let you, but I need you to hang on. Also, Rico. Hey, Rico. Calling from Maryland. We're going to talk to you next. Patricia, also calling from D.C., you are also on deck, so please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. But this conversation will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 142, HBCU and Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about getting something off your chest with the boss without getting booted out of the office or even hurting your career. How do you communicate with your boss when perhaps you have constructive criticism or something even more severe to say? My guests are Dr. Vanessa Weaver, career advisor and CEO of Alignment Strategies, and Kimberly Rice, co-founder of Blacks on the Job. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Before the break, we were talking to Juanita, and she was getting ready to really express herself. Juanita, go ahead, finish your point.
What I was going to say was, fortunately for me, no one has ever sort of, you know, come in there and just really been irate. And especially if I've had bosses to say, you can come to me with anything, don't be afraid. And so, you know, I don't really come in there with a, you know, an attitude to just throw everything out there. But I think it does help saying, okay, can I speak freely about some things? And then before you even step in there, I think it's very wise to stop and think about what you want to say and calm down, because it is not good at all to try to talk to someone when you are irate about a situation or you're trying to get something off your chest. But again, thumbs up. It has never happened to me where someone was just going off. So,
you know, speaking freely has been working for me.
Well, there you go, Juanita. Thank you so much.
I think when we talk about going off, you used the term, what was that word? What was
word vomit.
Word vomit. I love that.
I was thinking about The Exorcist, right?
Word vomit. But, you know, the point that you're into the word vomit or going off, it's really beyond giving feedback at that point. You're in another zone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to differentiate those two.
Again, Juanita, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Rico, calling from Maryland. Hey, Rico, what's on your mind?
Hey, Harold. Good evening. Good evening, all.
Good evening.
My approach to your topic, which is very significant, is that, number one, before I say anything, I'm always, number one, the confident professional, even though I might be irate, but I'm always professional, and I always know my specialty. I'm not going to talk about something that I'm not totally familiar with. And that approach served me before I joined the Army and during the Army. I was in the service for 22 years. And now having been retired in the private environment, is that I always know what I'm going to talk about. I don't think I have to mince words because if I'm given a specific duty or a position, I'm supposed to be the professional in that, and I should be able to approach my leadership and talk about it without feeling any repercussions or feeling intimidated.
Hmm.
And I hope bosses, for the most part, bosses have appreciated my approach. Mm-hmm. I've never had any issues with it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Rico. Good to talk to you. Your thoughts about what he just shared with us, Kim?
He's blessed. and here's the truth.
He's smart. He's a smart guy.
But also the reality is that that's not everybody's story. Mm-hmm. Everybody's story isn't there. People aren't looking. He's a veteran. He's been doing his job for 22 years. He comes from a different perspective. People are going to look at him differently. He's going to have an authoritative presence. So mm-hmm. they're going to welcome that feedback from somebody that they respect. And that might not work for everybody else. And we have to always be mindful of when looking at advice and when giving advice, how can that be applied to everyone or to different situations? Mm-hmm. An Army vet is going to have a completely different response than, you know, just a regular woman who just graduated from college. She's going to get a different response.
Or a millennial communicating with a veteran.
Yeah.
I mean a veteran of that job.
Yeah. Right. I was going to tell you, one of the challenges that I often see is the difference in terms of how millennials want to talk about a situation and provide their perspective, i.e. feedback, than with somebody who's been in an organization for 25 years. And a lot of times when you've been around, it takes you 3 or 4 times more words to say whatever it is that you really want to say. And I find that millennials want to get right to it very quickly. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's a generational disconnect in terms of how that gets communicated. And unfortunately, if the boss isn't sensitive and understanding of the generational differences, they could take the way the millennials provide the feedback markedly different than their intentions.
To the phone lines, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Patricia calling from D.C. Patricia, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I was just interested in what you all were speaking about from that perspective of being a regular person going to work, which I am. I heard what she said, and it is true that about the veteran. But I think it's important to look at the relationship that you and the supervisor may have. I wouldn't suggest, or I wouldn't go and talk to my supervisor if she doesn't like me or I don't like her. It's because it's not going to fare well. And I did approach my supervisor once, and I had to talk to her. I went in a, I prayed first.
Okay. Oh boy. When you go in and you got to pray first, right? But go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think that it's important to have the proper spirit when you're going in to tell somebody about something they may not be receptive of. So I prayed first and I went in and I humbled myself. And I talked to her by myself. I didn't want to talk to her in front of anybody else. Because mm-hmm. I didn't want her ego and her image to swell up on me and she become indignant and belligerent. Now, she did holler and scream when I said what I said, but I said it nice, and then I reminded her that I'm 60 years old and I'm a grown woman.
Oh, boy.
And I want to be treated the same way you want to be treated. I'm not a child. I'm a grown woman. And after we got past that, believe it or not, we became very good friends.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Patricia,
so
thank
it's
you.
It's the approach that you take. I believe it's important to know the relationship that you have with the person already.
Yeah,
Thank you so much.
It sounds akin to the politics in Game of Thrones. I mean, it's just, you know, when... And I think it sounds to me, correct me if I'm wrong, that Patricia and her boss were cut from the same cloth. And so the cultural language, the subliminal messages, it's almost like, you know, a standoff with two perhaps emotional professionals. And then after all of the shouting and stuff is done, then it's finally, okay, now what do you want?
Yeah. It seemed like to me that Patricia stood her ground,
mm-hmm.
that she came in with the right intention and that she did not get distracted or intimidated by the boss going off, sort of like letting her blow her steam and then going back to say, look, I'm a grown woman. I have some responsibilities in this relationship. I'm telling you how I feel or what we need to say. And you're going to have to deal with me. Mm-hmm. It sounded like in her behavior, she made it clear that the boss had to deal with her. She wasn't going to get thrown off by...
And shall not be moved.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And I also think there were some semantical issues. And I don't say issues in a bad way, but... When you look at a culture in an office, there is a language which may be better understood in some offices where the office culture, and one could even say, you know, the social culture allows you to say, like she said, I'm a grown woman. I'm not a child.
Yeah.
I know in some offices, the boss may clutch the pearls when you say something like that.
Yeah.
But in her office, you know, the boss understood what was being said.
It sounded like she was clutching something up and not.
Yeah. let us hope not. Kenny, calling from Baltimore. Kenny, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I was explaining to the young lady. Well, what the problem is on our job is they don't allow us to get to the owners anymore because they've backed their stuff out where they have managers there, two managers. And so we don't have driver's meetings anymore like we used to have. And we're not able to express ourselves because... Number one, I can get to the owner because I've been there long enough. I can go directly to her. But the other drivers seem like they can't ever express themselves. You know how people do on jobs. They talk amongst themselves, why they do this, why they do that. But every time they try to express themselves with the managers, they block. They give us excuses why they don't give meetings anymore. And all they say is just, well, right now, you know, we're too busy to have meetings or even we're too slow to have meetings. It's always an excuse so we don't get a chance to express ourselves.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's kind of a sad thing. So how do you break that barrier?
I was just wondering, did you notice when people don't get a chance to express themselves, does it build up to they kind of blow up then? Or is it just what happens when they're not expressing themselves?
People leave.
Well, basically what it is, because of the way our job is, you know, being out here with these clients we pick up and take to different medical facilities. What the deal is, we're out here doing that. We're the one driving. We're, like they said, the face of the company. But the only appreciation we get is maybe Christmas time, you might get a bonus. But other than that, when you want to express yourself, and then what makes it even worse, anything the clients say, you can't dispute that. You can't dispute it. So if the clients say, I don't like him, I don't like this, I don't like that, it puts us in a bad way because we can't express ourselves because the two managers won't allow it.
That sounds like a rather toxic culture where there is no, whether it's expressing or talking, but even not having an opportunity to file any sort of raise a concern. I wouldn't even say file a grievance, but raise a concern that could ultimately make that business better.
Yeah, and Kim said a point. What happens? And she said they quit, and that's true.
You can track it very easily. Your turnover. I don't even have to know what business you're in. Your turnover rate is really high at your company, right? People leave a lot, right? Is that true?
Yes.
People leave a lot at where you work, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, not now. See, here's what the deal is. They used to, but what they did, this will put this in a bad way. We have a certain amount of drivers for certain areas, for the D.C. area, Maryland area, Baltimore area. Outside of that, they give out the other jobs. They split them with contractual workers all over the United States, even Hawaii.
So it's a large company.
What happens? We can't say too much because we got to accept the hours we get from the jobs we get. And then if they want to, if you come off a bad way, you'll see your hours getting shortened because they're giving to the contractor.
Mm. So real quick, suggestions for him.
So
short of leaving.
My suggestion is always if you're in a toxic workspace and you cannot, and it's there's no sort of way for you to see your way through, then you have to kind of take it into yourself and say, hey, am I going to continue to deal with this or am I going to position myself to leave? Because your management, you know, you can have a conversation with them, but they have proven, and you said that this is an ongoing thing, they have proven that they don't have any sort of, they don't care. They're not going to fix the situation. They're not going to change it. You could potentially ask to speak to HR. You could ask to, you know, have a meeting because of your relationship with the owners. You could ask to have a meeting with the owners. But you're kind of at that point where you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. And you know, it's time to kind of start getting your resume ready and to really start looking at how you're going to move forward. Because people have left already. That's why they had to do contractors. That's why they've done that. Mm-hmm. So don't get left behind and then you're in a position where they continue to cut your hours so that they continue to contract things out.
Okay. I think another option too would be there's power in numbers. And I think that if a lot of you said a lot of us are talking among each other, and I think you all have to decide how to get together and talk as a group with the leadership of the company, because what they can't not afford is for you all to stop, you know, providing quality service or all of a sudden. Because how that customer feels, that a patient feels about them is going to be important for them building their business. So see if there's an opportunity for your group to get together and say, look, we're not, you know, we really are demanding to have a conversation about these issues and see where it takes you.
Kenny, thank you so much for sharing with us. I need to take a break. When we come back, how to talk to the boss, when is the right time, and how not to make a mistake. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about getting something off your chest with the boss without getting booted out of the office or hurting your career. So here's the other thing. What about timing? How important is timing, and how do you determine, Vanessa, when the time is right?
Well, timing is everything. And we talked a little bit earlier about making sure you're clear about your intentions, not going in when you're angry. But you can't let too much time slip away where the significance of the experience or the feedback gets missed. And so I think you have to test your intentions. Again, say, you know, am I angry? Can I be clear about it? And then I think you go and set context and have the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if timing is ever perfect. You know, I don't know if there's a formula where you can say, this is the formula for the best timing to give feedback. But if you do those initial precautionary things, then, you know, it's worth the risk and the investment to have it.
Maybe there aren't the best times, but there may certainly be worse times.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If your boss is having a bad day.
Don't. Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, but it's, you also have to look at it from the perspective of, you know, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you ready to step up and be that voice? Because if you walk in and you give this criticism And it could become an opportunity. And mm-hmm. you have to look at yourself internally and say, okay, am I ready for whatever the aftermath is?
Yeah.
Because that's going to be as important as the timing of giving the feedback. Yeah. It's kind of what happens after.
Yeah, that example that Patricia did, she talked about when she went in a boss, she prayed before and she did right. all of that. And the boss still went off on her, but she stood her ground in a respectful way.
Right.
And they were able to work through it because she had the courage and the tenacity to hang in there.
Right.
Now, what if, and I wanted to touch on this point earlier, if you want to go to the boss about, is there a difference between giving the boss unsolicited feedback about the way he or she acted in the meeting that has nothing whatsoever to do with you,
mm-hmm.
or something about the boss's plan that was presented or project or outline in the meeting that you feel could also benefit that boss? Again, you saw it,
mm-hmm.
and you are concerned about how the boss's boss may have reacted to what the boss said.
Mm-hmm.
Or there was something in the plan that you were concerned about how others may see, but you're fine. Mm-hmm. This do you keep your head down and mind your business, or do you pull the boss aside and say, hey?
Well, you know, I had an interesting experience that happened to me. I was doing a keynote in a conference in New York in July, and I had my team with me. And so after the keynote, I asked the team for feedback. You know, what did they think worked well, and, you know, what are some areas that I could really improve upon? And I really wanted to hear from them because I trusted them, and I really wanted to see if they were going to be straight with me on whatever it was. And I noticed initially that they were a little guarded, and I was surprised because I thought we had this like really cool relationship. And I told them that it was really so important for my own development for them to tell me what are the things I needed to tighten up with or they would want me to do differently. We were presenting a lot of data, a lot of facts. And, you know, one of the people who's been with me less than a year, and I respect her tremendously, she's a communications person. And she said, well, let me tell you what I really liked about what you did. And she told me that. And then she said, these are the areas that I think you could do it a little differently because it's so much data that people might get lost in all the data that you were giving. So, you know, kind of, you know, like cut some of the facts out, and these are the facts that I would have eliminated. Well, I really appreciated that from her. But it took me really going back again and making sure that they felt comfortable and safe and giving me that. So you can assume that you have that relationship with your people, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you can't. That you have to not test that and not really encourage that.
I think to go back to what Harold said, I think if you look at something and they're saying everybody is, oh, it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, but
yeah.
in your heart of hearts, you know that
it's
really
not.
He could have sliced that bread a little bit thinner,
mm-hmm.
then it's up to you to kind of then be like, I am also a stakeholder in this.
Mm-hmm.
I have a responsibility to do this. And that, you know, takes a little bit of the back in the army intestinal fortitude
mm-hmm.
to kind of step up and say, listen, whatever you did is great or not so great, but then always kind of back it up. If you can back it up with data,
mm-hmm.
if you can show why whatever their plan to execute may or may not work, data usually trumps everything. So
mm-hmm.
if you can prove why it's not going to work, then, you know, that may have a little bit more of an impact. But I think that just coming in as, you know, looking inside yourself and say, I am a stakeholder and I need to take ownership
mm-hmm.
of whatever widget we create will also kind of help you to kind of be willing to step out on that limb.
Is it better to talk to the boss or is it better to send an email?
Talk.
Why?
Talk.
Things get lost in translation. How many girlfriends and boyfriends break up because of text conversation?
Yeah, and it's real truncated.
Right.
Yeah, it's real. You don't get the emotional, affective kind of components to it. But sometimes with people being located in different places, it's really hard to have face-to-face communication, which I would always recommend that you do. Sometimes you're stuck with some of these virtual forms of communication, and then you just have to spend more time with it. You know, I think you have to build in the context in what you're writing in framing it. And
if you can't do it face to face, then, you know, at least try a phone call. Tone is everything.
Yeah,
tone is the most important thing that you can have. And doing things via email, via text, the tone gets lost.
Yeah.
I could tell you, Harold, I think you're a piece of crap. But if I'm saying it in a way that you can see my face or you can hear in my voice that it's a joke, that means a lot.
Yeah.
That's a completely different conversation than, Harold, I think you're a piece of crap.
Right, exactly.
Written. You're like, oh,
and then you put the little crappy emoji there.
Right.
So.
You're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So I think that if you can't, you know, go for face-to-face, if you can't go for face-to-face, then definitely go over the phone. And if you can't do over the phone, you know, be very... Women, we know how to do this because we do this all day, every day. Can you take a look at this?
Yeah.
Does this seem okay?
Ask somebody for feedback around what you're going to say.
Am I misconstruing? Would you misconstrue that?
Yeah.
I mean, women, we are we love to do that.
Oh, okay. I've got about 2 minutes. So some final thoughts. I started with you, Kim, so I'll start with you on the final thoughts. I'll let Vanessa have the final word. Your thoughts about talking to the boss. What's your final thought about that?
I think that we are now in a space where we need to start managing upwards. We need to start making our managers be accountable for their decisions. And the only way to kind of do that is to kind of start giving them that feedback. Good, bad, indifferent. We want our managers to grow. Because if they leave, then there's another position, there's another opportunity for us to move upwards. So we have to be in that space where we are willing to manage upwards and to kind of make them and expect them to be better based on feedback from people that they impact on a daily basis.
Vanessa?
I think it's also important to ask the WIFM principle. My millennials told me about WIFM. What's in it for me? WIFM. I didn't know what that was. They said
WIFM. I'm learning something
but
myself.
I think it's important to ask yourself, what's in it for me in terms of doing this feedback? And you grow as much in giving the feedback as you go and receiving it. So I think that that's important. And the only other point I would like to make around this is don't get caught up into a power play when you're giving feedback. You know, you think about it's a win or lose in giving feedback. That's the wrong context to look at it.
So you have to figure out when to stand your ground and when to give ground.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go. I think that's a great last word. I want to thank both of you, Dr. Vanessa Weaver and Kimberly Rice. I appreciate you both coming in and talking to us. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, August 23rd. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet me using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.